Cameras decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with
Lori.
That's correct. And today we are looking at a rather shocking. I think we always look at shocking crimes, but here's another one for you, I suppose.
Yeah.
So we are looking at the Aurora Theatre massacre. So if you ever were scared to go to the movies, well, here's more reason to be scared. So it was supposed to be a night of escape, of superheroes and summer blockbusters. Instead, it became one of the deadliest mass shootings in modern US history. This is a story of the 2012 Aurora Theatre massacre, a night of unimaginable horror, a city in shock, and the long, painful road to justice. So on July 20th, 2012, hundreds of people packed into Century 16 movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. I mean, going to watch a movie with your friends and family. It was for the premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. Okay. And it had drawn fans from all over the area, which I do know it was quite a big film release. I was too small to go watch such movies in the theater, but it is okay. So the air buzzed with excitement. People grabbed popcorn, found their seats, and settled in for the final installment of Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy. What they didn't know was that they were about to be trapped in a nightmare. Just after midnight, about 20 minutes... Why is the film starting at midnight? Is my first question. But anyway, about 20 minutes into the film, a man exited through the emergency door of Theater 9, leaving it propped open with a plastic device. He returned moments later, armed to the teeth and dressed in tactical gear. He was 24-year-old James Holmes, a former neuroscience PhD student whose descent into madness had gone largely unnoticed or ignored. So let's rewind. Let's get some background. James Egan Holmes was born in California in 1987. By most accounts, he was intelligent, if socially awkward, child. He loved science and video games, and he didn't get into much trouble, and there were no red flags raised. But something was wrong beneath the surface. By 2011, Holmes had enrolled in a competitive neuroscience program at the University of Colorado, Denver. Professors described him as quiet, withdrawn, but academically capable. But I suppose a lot of those, you know, more academic types are a little bit more not the social bunnies. They're not the ones going to parties. So I suppose that's not really a sign to be like, what's going on here? Then came a sudden change. In the spring of 2012, Holmes began to unravel. He had failed an important exam, withdrew from the program, and stopped therapy. He started stockpiling weapons, legally purchasing over 6,000 rounds of ammunition. My goodness, was he planning to go to war? Like what? An AR-15 style rifle, a 12-gauge shotgun, and two Glock pistols. At the same time, he kept a detailed journal documenting his plan to kill his so-called human capital. It's like speaking about cows. That's a bit deep. That's messed up. He wrote about choosing a location with maximum casualties and decided how he'd booby-trap his apartment to kill anybody who came looking. He also dyed his hair bright orange. When police would later arrest him, he would claim to be the Joker. Guys, I feel like that's fitting that he went to the Batman movie. I'm just saying, it kind of at least ties in. At least he had some thought process there. Back in Theater 9, the movie was reaching an action-packed sequence. Viewers barely noticed when he emerged, when the emergency exit creaked open. Many assumed it was a prank or part of the show. Then came the canisters of tear gas, the gunfire, and then the gunfire. Holmes opened fire with a shotgun first, then switched to the AR-15, spraying bullets into the crowd. Some tried to run, others ducked under their seats, but chaos erupted. Well, I can imagine. Believe me, I would have been out of there faster than anything. The shooting lasted less than 2 minutes, but the damage was devastating. 12 people were killed and 70 others were injured. Some were left paralyzed and some never fully recovered. Among the dead was Jessica Gawi, a 24-year-old aspiring sports journalist who had narrowly escaped another shooting in Toronto just weeks before. That's such bad luck. Yeah. Alex Tavares, who shielded his girlfriend with his body, and Veronica Moses Sullivan, who was just 6 years old. Why was a six-year-old at Batman?
Probably snuck in, wanted to get some good movie time.
To a premiere. I don't think that would have been the easiest thing. But a six-year-old. I mean, Christopher Nolan's Batmans aren't exactly child's play. It's not like the cartoon Batman. Anyway. Outside the theater, police quickly responded. Holmes was found near his car, calmly surrendering without a fight. That's even more messed up because that's psychotic. He warned officers not to enter his apartment, which he had rigged with over 30 homemade explosives and tripwires. It took a bomb squad 2 days to safely disarm all the traps. This guy's absolutely cooked.
That's cool.
No, it literally comes out of a comic book, honestly. What followed was a years-long legal battle that forced survivors' families and the nation to relive that horrific night over and over. Holmes' defense didn't deny he committed the crime. They argued that he was insane. I agree. That he suffered from schizophrenia. I wouldn't be surprised. And that he was not in control of his actions. I don't agree with that. Everyone's in control of their actions. But anyway. But prosecutors pointed out to the meticulous planning, the journal, the weapons, the booby traps. They said he knew exactly what he was doing. My point exactly. After a long and painful trial, the jury found James Holmes guilty of all 165 counts of murder, attempted murder, and weapon charges. He was sentenced to 12 life sentences without any possibility of parole, plus 3,318 years, effectively ensuring that he would die in prison. You see, this is what that kid we did last week, he should have also died in prison. That's no. My own thing. Ah.
That's a little bit messed
up. No. He killed a 2-year-old at 10. That's messed up. Why are you being put back in society? You're not mentally sane.
I get that, but if the kid has a psychological problem, I don't think jail is the answer.
Yeah, mental hospital, but leave him there. Why are we putting these people? You see, guys, I don't agree with putting people back. Just leave them there. Anyway. However, no sentence could erase the trauma or bring back the lives lost. In the aftermath, Aurora became another name on the growing list of mass shooting sites in America, joining Columbine, Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook, and too many others. The tragedy sparked a renewed debate about gun control. I feel like every time there's a shooting, we have a debate about gun control, mental health, and public safety. But little changed at the federal level. Still, the victims are remembered, and the city of Aurora built a permanent memorial. It was a circle of remembrance for the 13 killed, including an unborn child lost due to injuries sustained. You see, I'm glad. You see, this is where I'm going to say something controversial.
Wow.
Right. If this unborn child was declared to have been killed because of injuries, right? How is abortion not murder? Just putting it out there. If this child, unborn, is counted in the statistics as a murder, make it make sense. Because it doesn't make sense. But that's food for thought for all our listeners today. More than a decade later, survivors continued to rebuild their lives. Some advocate for change, others focus on healing quietly. But for all of them, the night of July 20th, 2012 is one that never ends. No. So, yeah, for me, these mass shootings, I really do think there has to be something psychological with the people to just go into a room and randomly open fire to absolutely innocent people. You don't know who's in there from a, I mean, you've never met those people from a bar of soap. It's not like killing somebody that you know because they did something to you for a specific reason, like this person stole your wife and then you shoot him. Okay, that's a very different story. This act of violently going in and killing complete innocence that you have no connection to whatsoever, I think it's a different type of crime, and I think it's a different type of evil. And I think it really takes a messed up psyche to be able, I mean, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago how Nazi soldiers literally had to be given drugs in order for them to shoot when they were told to shoot. So how messed up do you have to be to do it out of your like own free will? What I'd be interested to know, and I wish there was more information about it, they said that he had a break in 2012. What happened? Because until that, he was fine. He was a student. He was studying science. I mean, he was on a path to probably be very successful.
Yeah.
Neuroscience is a very successful career. What on earth happened that my man's went from studying neuroscience to planning a mass shooting? Do you get what I'm saying? That doesn't just happen. You don't wake up one day and be like, yo, I'm going to kill a whole bunch of people. Don't do that. So something traumatic or something must have triggered it. Was there past traumas and then something happened and it triggered? Was what happened?
Maybe I was getting like payback.
What broke his psyche? Like to even write in your journal places that would have maximum casualties. Like, I mean, that's...
What if it's like something that like corrupted his brain in his study of neuroscience where he's seen...
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's also like, for example, when the Islamic terrorists do their things, their mass killings, right? They have a reason, okay? Yeah. They claim they're doing it for their religion, motivated. Whatever. What was his reason? I mean, you just... But you see, also the whole thing of like acting like the Joker, that's for me is like also a little bit like going demonic, like something's changed within you.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I mean, with what happened with him, this mass shooting, and also, for example, when Liverpool won the Premier League this year, they were having a victory parade and someone just drives their car through the parade and kills a bunch of... Like, why? Were you that upset that your team lost?
He's either Everton or Man United fan.
Oh, let's not go there. Okay, let's put him at Everton. Let's not associate... Yeah. Anyway, but like, what's the reason? What's the point of driving your car into a group of people that you have no idea who they are? Do you get what I'm saying? And that's been happening a lot in Europe. Like people like drive their cars into crowds or they blow up their cars. Why?
Maybe you find that guys like that are probably like intoxicated or something.
No, I mean, these are like deliberate. I don't know. Just for me, these type of things, it's like I said, it's very different when you're doing a specific crime for a specific motive.
Yeah.
This killing innocence, that's messed up. Okay, all crime is messed up. But it's another level of just take it one step higher, if you get what I'm saying. And so, I mean, imagine you going to the movies expecting to have a really good time going to see a new film and you end up dead. I mean, that's also not a place you expect anything to happen.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, you're not going and sitting in the theater and like looking at everybody, like who's going to pull out a gun. Like, that's not a place where you'd expect something like that to happen. I think that makes it even worse because those people were completely unexpecting and it just ended so badly. But like I said, there's something definitely wrong. The booby trapping, the writing of that is... There was definitely a psychological break in his mentality. And I would be very interested to know what caused that break.
Yeah, actually.
Because it doesn't just happen. You don't just walk down the street and be like, oh my goodness, I'm the Joker from Batman. Doesn't happen. Something would have caused it. And so, yeah, that was the massacre at the theater in Aurora. Yeah, do you have anything else you would like to add? It's a truly tragic event.
Yeah, I just think maybe these, you know, movies just have a little bit more of an influence than we think they do.
No, I definitely do. And I think, I mean, as much as I know people play games and stuff like that, I do think you have to be very careful, especially with the younger children.
Yeah.
I definitely think age limits are not being enforced the way they should be enforced. And I think kids are... Yeah, I think our media is very violent. Our movies, our TV shows, there's a lot more violence. I mean, if you go back and watch stuff from like the 50s, it's a lot more peaceful. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, now we've got cop shows and hostage shows and, I don't know, army shows, all these type of things. And I do think it has an effect. But I still think that might have influenced him, but I still think there's something that completely just made him snap. And something had to have done it. Something in his actual life. It's not him watching TV.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? It's something happened to him personally that he then decided, maga. But even like the fact that he just surrendered so quietly, that's also very psycho to me. Like, most of these mass shooting peoples end up shooting themselves afterwards. The fact that he was like, okay, here's my guns, there's booby traps, block me, that's for me is messed up. Messed up. So yeah, that is it. Crazy, crazy case. Yeah, I don't know if I'll be going to the movies anytime soon. Just saying. But otherwise, we hope you enjoyed. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.